Blog Talk Radio.
Yah is my light, same is my light. In Yah are all things from the beginning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. You are listening to the music of my brother Shemwal Wali, who plays music for the soul. And we are here today on Soul Purpose Healing to bring you some soul food. Now, we're not talking chitlins and collard greens and cornbread. We're talking about soul food, wisdom, knowledge, understanding to help you throughout the week, throughout the days, to rise above the confusion of the world. There is so much confusion in the world, and we want to break up that confusion and bring you into a place of peace, love, and harmony. So welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us. My name is Viata. I am your host, and I am a master herbalist and a certified life coach by profession on this journey on earth. And I'm here to coach you through the confusion and the bad news and the darkness that we sometimes see and hear from the media and the newspapers. And I have invited a guest today to join me, my brother Rafa, who has such wisdom and much knowledge about the scriptures. And he has had a very unique journey on this earth that he's going to share with us about what he learned in that journey. And we're just so grateful to be here today. This is a moment to be in gratitude and to give thanks for breath in us. If you're breathing, take a deep breath in and give thanks to your Creator that you can still breathe today. And so welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. I want to just remind you who are listening that I am not a doctor. We do talk about health issues on this show. I'm not a doctor. I'm an herbalist. I'm a servant of the Most High Yahuwah, who has given me much knowledge and wisdom on the journey so that I share ways to bring balance to the human vessel. And we are not here to replace any information or knowledge that your medical professional has given you or will give you, but we are here to help you rise above the men in the white coats and give them some knowledge and understanding about how the human body functions, because you are a soul first. You are a spirit under a skin house or vessel, and it's important that you understand the soul's purpose on this earth. So thank you for being here with us, and I'm going to bring on my brother, Rafa. Rafa, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for having me.
Good evening. Good evening. Hallelujah. How are you this evening?
Oh, excited. Very well, but excited to be on
Hallelujah.
The show tonight.
It is really a time to be excited, isn't it?
Yes, same things that get people fearful, you know, who don't know certain truths, are the same things that get us excited.
That's right.
Perilous time.
But we are here today to shed light on the events in the news. And there are just some events that just keep coming up over and over throughout the week. And so we're going to focus on a couple of events that have people concerned, and they don't know what to say, they don't know what to do, they don't know what to think. But we're going to give you a higher perspective. This is not the only perspective, but it's the perspective we think that is most important to bring you peace, wisdom, understanding, and the knowledge of the Most High Yahuwah, our creator of these vessels that we live in. And Rafa and I both have a very common background in that we have been studying the scriptures and learning and growing and trusting in the word of our Heavenly Father Yahuwah. His word has been our rock. His word has been what we put our faith in. And his word has given us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding that has kept us through the trials and through the tribulations. So we are going to be referring to that word for the rock and the strength that it gives and for the wisdom that we hope to impart to you today so that you can have much peace, much joy, and much love in your journey. There is just so much out there that's trying to steal the joy and steal the peace that we all desire, the shalom, we call it in the Hebrew tongue. The Hebrew tongue is very important because the Hebrew language, especially the Paleo-Hebrew, is our biology. As I have grown on this earth and studied, I have learned that the Paleo-Hebrew is written in the stars and the heavens and the skies and the Shemayim, it's called. And it's we reflect that in our bodies. And so the first newsworthy item that I would like to share with you is about the microbes in this human vessel, in this body that we call human body. And I heard some the most amazing information this week, and it's been in the news for some time, but I spend a lot of time in my car, and I listen to NPR, and they have lots of good information that comes to you. And this news item I thought about was worth bringing to the listeners of Soul Purpose Healing because it's about the universe within you. And this universe within us, which mirrors the universe above us, is full of bacteria or what is called microbes. It is a universe of what's called microbiota that live inside our bodies. And if you're not familiar with the word microbes, you really should increase your knowledge about microbes because scientists, these men in white coats who look in magnified glasses and see things trillions of times bigger, they have discovered that microbes make up 100 trillion bacteria alone in your gut or your intestines. And there are approximately 1 trillion microbes on your skin and 10 billion in your mouth alone. So that alone should tell you that the methods that many doctors use to get you well are going against your own biology. And what scientists have found out is the diversity of all these microbes or bacteria is enormous. And there are something like 10,000 different species of human microbe altogether. That's just the species, and then we get into the trillions on everywhere in your body. So the Creator had a plan for us to dwell with these microbes in a relationship, and it's more about us instead of I. When we use the word I, it's really not an adequate description of who we are and what our being is about and what we are doing, because we're not alone in this world. Even the name Yahuwah, the Creator's name, is more of a collective nature of angels and messengers that are here to assist us on our journey of purpose. And so these microbes in our bodies, they have discovered, can also impact our brain and behavior. This is so fascinating that all those little microbes, living microbes, can stimulate the neurons in your stomach lining and in turn contact the brain directly. In fact, the name of the nerve that actually stimulates the brain to the abdomen is called the vagus, V-A-G-U-S nerve. It's a huge nerve, and it runs all the way from the brain to the abdomen. And researchers in Ireland cut that vagus nerve in mice, and when they did that, they no longer saw the brain respond to changes in the gut. So this vagus nerve is like a highway of communication between what's going on in your gut or your intestines and what's going on in your brain. This is so important. It sheds new light on antibiotics. Antibiotics have been given to patients for years now. And what we find, especially in the holistic field, is that antibiotics destroy the balance of all these trillions of microbes. So it tells you there is a better way to treat your diseases or the imbalances or the viruses even that come up. And speaking of viruses, you have all this talk about the Ebola virus, and now they're saying the West Nile virus has come to America. Welcome to America, West Nile virus. Because we have many of us who are wise enough to know that the virus is nothing to be afraid of. In fact, Dr. Meir Eisenstein, one of my favorite medical doctors who's been practicing for 40 years, tells us over and over again, the way to treat all viruses is with three items, vitamin D, vitamin C, and probiotics. Let me repeat that. If you're afraid of viruses, make sure you, number one, learn about the microbes in your gut that are talking to your brain, and then store up on vitamin D, vitamin C, and probiotics. That is the treatment recommended by Dr. Eisenstein, who's been practicing for over 40 years, and he recommends that for all viral infections and even other illnesses to help prevent or lower the incidence. So, Rafa, I'm going to let you make your comment about all. I know it was a mouthful for me, but what do you think about that? You are a man of the word. Does this sound strange to you, Rafa?
Oh, no, sister, not at all. Excuse me, not at all. While I was listening to you, just to comment on the antibiotic point you made, that antibiotics actually suppress the natural immune system in us. You know, they attack our white blood cells and the flora in your stomach and your gut. What you're speaking about, it really shuts down the body's natural defense in order for it to work. So it does work, you know, many times. It will help, but many people can identify, you may also, I can, who have taken them at various times in our life, usually follow it with a cold. You get sick after whatever, if it's a toothache. That was the main reason I had taken antibiotics at the time for infection of the tooth. That's one of the most common times, you know, a person would take antibiotic. And you often, even if you don't get a full-blown cold, you'll get the symptom of a cold because once the medicine, you know, you're finished taking that, and your body is still trying to come back up to a level of normalcy,
mm-hmm.
you're susceptible to the most common little virus or illness. The medicine you took shut down your immunity. So it's like counterproductive. What's that saying? The lesser of two evils. To fight off the infection, you'll shut down your immune system. But many people don't know that any prescription drug out there on the market is made in the lab that mimics something that's already out there that the creator has put on the mm-hmm. on the planet for us.
Right.
So that's all they're doing is mimicking the herbs that Genesis 2 talks about. Genesis 1 also, that the leaves and the plants are for the healing, right, of the nations of the body. So especially after sin entered into the world, we knew we would need these herbs more than ever, because we would be susceptible to illnesses. Their diet changed, and that would, of course, decrease the life expectancy and add more illness to the body. So from a fruitarian original diet, you know, to the herbal diet, to the meat diet, and so on. So the age we're in now is a very degenerate age, where we're eating processed foods and GMOs, genetically modified foods, where the body doesn't even read as food. The digital system that, you know, we are so familiar with in this time is based on, again, the body, as you speak, in the brain, the way the DNA is formed. They actually, when you watch videos, they'll tell you one of the first things they discovered is the DNA is pretty much based on a digital code, and what they call a digital code. And they also know that when a foreign substance is introduced into the body, just like a computer, if you put in a program that is foreign to that computer system, it will read error. It doesn't compute. So it's the same in the body.
You brought up a good topic, GMO foods, because so much of what's out there in boxes and even what's grown in the fields is corn, especially corn is one of the biggest GMO plants. GMO foods are altering the DNA of the body. The tests have been done to show that they have given even GMO corn to rats, and the rats grew tumors almost twice as big as the rat themselves. So we're looking at a society that believes they are being nourished by these processed foods and these GMO plants, and yet we just talked about microbes. The universe within is perfectly able to communicate and talk to the cells in your body to help you overcome illnesses. If you have the right balance of microbes in your gut, and your gut is communicating to your brain, and the brain is going to help you make better choices in what you put in the body. It's all a perfect system of the Most High Yahweh.
Right.
And yet we have not been appreciating or respecting that, because we have so many men in authority who are trying to say they can do a better job of nourishing us with genetically modified foods, and we can drink all the sugar, all the Hawaiian punch you want to drink, it's okay, and all the sodas, and now they're making water with fructose in it, and everybody has a better plan than the microbes within us which is the plan. That this is the plan, what these scientists are discovering. The plan is to keep your microbes in balance because they're everywhere. They're on your skin. They tell us when you have an infection, they come out and clean up the infection. You don't have to take antibiotics to get rid of the infection, but you do have to take ginger and vitamin C, and you have to get some sun, and you have to do all these natural things. But you know what I have found out in my journey to treat myself with natural herbs and food and water and sun is that it may take longer to get well, but at last the nourishment that you're putting in your body is actually rebuilding the cells. It's not just covering up the disease or the sickness, but the nourishment, the ginger and the mushrooms and the vitamin C and the fruit and vegetables and the nuts and seeds are actually regenerating and restoring. And that process takes longer than, say, taking an antibiotic, and you think in 10 days it's all gone, but actually you've weakened the microbes within you.
Mm.
So all this to say, we're leading up to another big item in the news, which is the misery in Missouri is what they call it. We have been hearing so much about this young man, Michael Brown, who was shot in the head, and we understand 6 times now, and then there's so much uproar and the protest and grief and looting and anger, bitterness, hurt, every emotion's coming up because one man was shot by a policeman, and what they believe unfairly because he didn't have any arms. So my friend Rafa received a poem of sorts that was written, and I thought it's very appropriate to describe the mind and the mood of most of the people in Missouri and those who are watching this the way they think. So I'd like for Rafa to read that poem, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit of what it really means.
Okay. Yes, let me pull that poem up. It was sent to me today, actually, or yesterday, rather, from a friend of mine out in Florida. So let me see. Here it is. It says it's actually written as if Michael Brown were speaking here, you know, from after the situation that happened to him, if he were able to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "You say I am a criminal. Well, charge me in the court of law. You say I attacked you, but with what weapon? You're trained to take me down without killing me, right? Where was your spray, your mace, or pepper spray? Where was your taser? I guess in your eyes, I deserve to die. Not just to die, but to be shot through the eye. If only the people could hear my side." Wow. That's pretty moving. Even now, reading it again, you know, I read it a couple of times earlier. I sent it out to a few people other than yourself, and you know, everyone was moved that read it.
And that's why the emotions are so high in Missouri and throughout the land. When you read these words, saying he's a criminal, court of law, weapon, where's your weapon? You're trained to cut me down, killing me. In your eyes, I deserve to die. And
right.
And so what I've been thinking about and what Rafa and I spoke about earlier was whose eyes are looking at Michael Brown? We have the eyes of the Most High Yahuwah looking down on all of us, and there are plenty of scriptures that tell us that the Most High watches us. And he watches us how? I believe, and you, Rafa, if you want to chime in, you're fine. I believe the watching is through messengers. We have messengers all over the universe. The messengers, the microbes are messengers. Those microbes are actually messengers. They're intelligent forms of life that are communicating inside of the vessel. And then we have messengers outside of the vessel that we may not be aware of. We have messengers in the way of the tribes. We did a show last year about the tribes of Israel are inside every human body. And so when you're aware of the tribes and the words and even the numbers, you become conscious of what is really going on when someone is shot and dies. And so what we want to help our listeners understand and the nation understand is that, number one, death is a reward. The messenger, Michael Brown, completed his assignment. And as I mentioned last week, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that it's better actually to die than it is to feast. And when a person dies, those who are left living should take it to heart. And so on this show, we take to heart the life of Michael Brown, because in these words that Rafa just read, it was talks about, will you charge me in the court of law, and will you say you attack? They you say I attacked you, but with what weapon? Okay, let us think about the weapons of our mouth, are the words that we speak. See, the scripture talks a lot about words, and so we can attack people with words. And my philosophy is, my belief, and I don't think anyone can dispute this. If you can, you can call in at 215-383-5863. We're happy to hear from any of our listeners if they want to voice their opinion. But my belief is that there's a law in the universe that says you reap what you sow. Evident all around us in nature. You plant a apple seed and you get an apple tree. You plant spinach seeds. You plant tomato seeds. You get that plant and all its branches and leaves and then fruit. And so for someone to write about this experience that we have witnessed with Michael, that you say, I attacked you, but with what weapon? We don't know what weapon that he attacked, but we do know his life was taken from him and he's no longer on the earth. And so, see, my perspective is he reaped what he sowed. That's the law. It doesn't matter how a person leaves this earth, but they have reaped what they have sown and their timing has been come up. And so as a messenger, the message is over for Michael Brown. He has given us the message. We have to take it to heart. Now, I don't know Michael Brown. I don't think Rafa has ever met the young man. We are beginning to know him by what people are saying about him. But we don't know the weapons he used from his mouth. But there obviously had to be some type of seed planted for Michael's life to end this way. Mm. And we take a pause there and think about that. We don't like to, we want to say he was a victim because he didn't have a weapon. But we don't know what weapons he's planted in the hearts and minds of other people in his 18 years on the earth. Because we all plant seeds along the way, and then we reap what we've sown. I was sharing with my friend Rafa, a man who died recently in his sleep. He was in his 70s, and he was a teacher and a healer and just a beautiful soul who owned a company where they distributed and sold pure herbs or liquid herbs, and just the most wise person I've ever met. And he went to sleep one evening and his soul left his body and he disappeared. Now, that's the way I'd like to leave this earth. I don't want to leave tied up to tubes in a hospital and drugs going in my veins. That is not my choice at all, and I'm doing everything I can to prevent that, staying close to my Heavenly Father Creator. But it's about relationship with our Creator. And Rafa, I'd like you to share a powerful lesson that you had to learn about deepening your relationship with the Most High Yahuwah. Rafa has had a journey that I'd like him to share a little about. He shared it on a previous show last year, and I'd like him to share about the most challenging, I would say, maybe journey you have had to take thus far, and what was the lesson that you learned from that?
Yes, sister. Like we spoke of earlier, was during my, I had a 3-year incarceration. I had to go through dealing with a weapon charge. And through those 3 years that I spent having never dealt with the criminal justice system before, it was very, you could imagine, traumatizing and taxing 3 years on me. But if it was not for my faith, I wouldn't have made it. Not with my sanity, maybe physically not have made it. Many people go inside and don't come out. It's a pretty bad environment. But I went in older, I was already 43 at the time, just turned 43, so I was already who I was. And I had maybe over 20 years of faith building under my belt. So it helped a lot, you know, where I was able to reflect internally. You go through the general emotions, you're angry, shock. You go through the why me period, you know, phase.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, through the weeks, you go through these things as you're doing this time. You go through all of those emotions, the sorrow, the pain, the guilt, the regret and remorse, the embarrassment that, you know, you're thinking about your family and friends. That, like, wow, how's this going to look? And it just varies a lot. So it forced me to internally look and stop pointing finger and out, you know, and look at what did I do? How did this happen? And a lot of soul searching you get to do. And if you're honest with yourself and brave enough, you can come to a conclusion which everyone who's been through anything like that can relate to. You will see where you were at fault, where you messed up. And
mm-hmm.
you say, okay, am I going to stay here or am I going to change? Am I going to make some changes? And you have to, as you know, like when you're doing a 12-step program or something to that effect, they always
mm-hmm.
tell you the first step to your recovery is admittance and acceptance, or acknowledgement and acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Any healing that was to be done, which is what is going to make you a better person, will begin with that acknowledgement and acceptance of my wrongs. And then reaching out, acknowledging, knowing that, wow, even though I messed up, the Father still loves me. You know, he hasn't given up on me, so I shouldn't give up on me, because you go through that also, like you thought, oh, this is too much, and it's no hope, and you can't hold on to that. So
don't you have to even forgive yourself?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you have to.
Yes.
If you don't, sometimes that's one of the bigger problems. We don't.
Yes.
Forgive people because we don't forgive ourselves.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, no healing will come. So one of the, I guess, the biggest blessing that I got out of that situation was faith building, and a faith strengthening, a better way to say it, faith strengthening experience that my acknowledgement and awareness of the Most High's active hand in my life from before I was born up until, you know, that moment, the realization, like, wow, I'm going to be here a while, and this is bad, but it's not over. You know, I'm down, but not out. That moment, then you just know he's still with me, and he's showing me many, many evidences that he's with me through this, even though I'm in sort of hell, so to speak, quote unquote, but he's with me there.
And I bet you had some messengers. I bet you had messengers inside the prison that were helping you. Did you? I mean,
yes,
physical bodies. Did you have men
and
who
seen.
Actually? Huh?
Unseen and seen.
Yes,
unseen.
Yes, he
will
you
put
were aware
people,
of that.
Yes, I can attest to that, witness to it. It's a fact. He will put people in your path that you don't know, they don't know you, and will have compassion on you or whatever the case, you know, and want to help you and whatever that need at that time, whatever you may need, whether it's food or a shoulder, a ear, protection, money, an encouraging word, sometime a chastisement, an upbraiding. Somebody might have to check you, you know, hey, tighten up over here, you know, you're doing this wrong, snap out of it or whatever. Whatever you need, that he's going to put somebody in your path to give you
Hallelujah.
That.
Hallelujah, yes.
And,
yes.
You
and it's all about attitude, right? You have to have the right
exactly.
attitude. Because
yes.
that's what'll put someone in prison is that we need an attitude adjustment, or that's where someone gets shot because they have the wrong attitude. Now, from what we're hearing about Michael Brown, I'm not so sure he had the right attitude when a policeman tells you, gives you some instructions or you to do something. If you become proud and loud and belligerent, there's plenty of scriptures that tell us that won't soften the heart of the policeman. I remember, and I know Rafa has a scripture that he could share with us, but I remember when I got stopped by a policeman for running a red light. And my mind said, oh, I'm going to be later than I thought I was going to be. I was in a hurry trying to get to a meeting, and I went the yellow light turned red too fast, and I'm going across the driveway. And that policeman came up to my window, and all I could think to say was, oh, have mercy. I looked up at him and said, please have mercy, please have mercy. And I rattled off where I was going and why I was going. And I was almost in tears because I said, I don't need a ticket. And that policeman looked at me and smiled and said, you know, I am not going to give you a ticket because you remind me of my wife. And I was shouting hallelujah. And I said, all I had to say was have mercy. I did not get. I did not lie as I've done in the past and say I wasn't speeding or I didn't run a red light. I was just have mercy. And I drove away from that policeman with a smile. He had a smile, and I had no ticket in my hand. So from that point on, I'm driving below the speed limit or at least at the speed limit. But that was the lesson for me, is that my attitude softened that policeman's heart. And the fact that I resembled his wife helped a lot, I'm sure, but I don't think teenagers these days, especially African-American teenagers, are responding to authority in the streets, especially, with the right attitude. It's like you're going to reap what you sow if you're proud and loud and rebellious. With these military-like policemen these days, they've got their tanks, they've got their rifles, and they're afraid. These policemen, I'm sure, are afraid for their life. They signed up for this job, especially if they've been in it a while, to protect the citizens of their city, and most of the policemen in the cities across America are being given assignments more like military, army, war gear, and so we've got a war going on in our cities. And I want to advise all the young people out there and the parents to start changing the attitudes of these young people. And as we talked about earlier, we have to be more conscious about what we're putting in the body. These genetically modified foods are actually probably designed to drive you crazy, in my opinion, because they are not compatible. They are not in alignment. They are not biologically balancing the human temple when it has trillions of microbes, living organisms, that are communicating with the parts inside the vessel to help us be in alignment with the Creator's hand that formed us in our mother's womb. It's time to wake up, people. Michael Brown is shouting from the grave, "Wake up, people. I've left you a message. My death is not about whether I was a victim or unarmed, because I was armed. More than likely, that young man was armed most of his life to lead up to a death like that. You don't die with 6 bullets in your body and not have reaped what you sowed. So we don't know the whole story, but we do know we don't want to end up like that. And so the lesson becomes, how are you going to respond to all these military police in your city? How are you going to walk now? How are you going to take care of the human vessel so that your mind functions in a way that you are humble like a lamb and not like a wolf or a warrior? You want to be a warrior in the streets of the city to prove your point, or do you want to be a humble lamb so that the microbes inside of you can take over and control your mind and put you in a place of peace, a place of abundance, a place of life? So we have scriptures. Do you have any scriptures you'd like to share, Rafa, that kind of reinforce the idea that we are to be lambs if we want to be blessed by the angels and the Elohim, the messengers of the Most High Yahuwah?
Yes, sister. The scripture, you know, in several places tell us about that, where we're dealing with a dragon, a lion, you know, a beast that is on the prowl. You know, the enemy, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, people know these scriptures, but they don't really, like, apply them to the everyday life, you know, to the actual events that we see transpire around us from week to week and year to year. These things are written, as Paul said, for our admonition. In Hebrews, you know, upon whom the end of the world has come. It's written for us so that we wouldn't be fall victim if we took heed. So I do believe that a soft answer is Proverbs 16:1, says, turns away wrath. Now, there are certain cases. I think this is where it'll only be a little disagreement of between us, that sometimes bad things happen to good people. We know that, you know. And not to speak upon the young man's good or bad, I don't, like we said, we don't know him, so I don't know how good or bad he was in his short life, but I wouldn't say he necessarily reaped what he sowed, because I don't know what he, you know, what happened in his life, how he lived it, but he definitely had a part in the tragic events that transpired 2 weeks ago yesterday, and that's August 9th, if he had responded differently to that officer, who clearly was also in the wrong, aggressive, and threatening out of his fear and probably sprinkled with some, hatred or racism, whatever. Yeah, sure, that's a part of it. And he was wrong too, but you can't meet, the authority, the man with the gun, with that aggression. I mean, especially mm-hmm. When you don't have what he has, and you don't have the law, the right, or seemingly right on your side, because he is a law enforcement agent, he will be given the benefit of the doubt in the court that he had the right on his side. And I'm sure he spoke to the young man, because there's two of them, and I'm sure he didn't ask them, oh, hey, guys, could you get out the street? He probably said, get the hell out the street, or get the F out the street, something like that. And they, I'm sure, got back at him and said something rude to him, which made him back his car up and swing his door open so fast at them that it hit them, and I'm sure they kicked it back at him or pushed it back. People will side with the boys who want that justice prevail, but we have to be honest. I'm sure they were wrong too, because if you thrust back a car door on an officer, he's looking at that as assault on an officer. You're not supposed to do that, and you're not supposed to give any threatening posture, pose any threatening posture toward an officer, or if you're in the correctional facility, toward a correctional officer. They take that aggression that you're trying, you want to hurt me, so now mm-hmm. I have to defend myself. So it mm-hmm. put him, and man, like you spoke of, fearful. We know that was a big part. Angry, aggression, adrenaline pumping, and whatever else he had going on. All of that now was escalated because of the bad response that they gave him. And look how it ended up. A young man died. He didn't need to die that way. But I should say, when I say that, I mean it wasn't deserving of whatever he did. That was not an equal response. I think we could agree on that. The officer's response was extreme, to say the least.
Well, I don't know, I hear what you're saying. But and you're saying he didn't need to die that way. But that, the message
but I mean,
is powerful.
When I say that, I only mean that because I'm speaking of a response issue. Like,
right.
The officer responded to his bad behavior, which I am acknowledging. I'm sure I don't
right.
know, word for word what happened, but I,
right.
I've been this 20 years removed from his age, and I know how the officers think and act, and it was easy. He got back at the officer when he shouldn't have. And he could have just said, got out the way. Or when the officer pulled back, they could have ran to the sidewalk or something. And it was a bad response to a negative initiation by the officer. But they gave a bad response.
Another part is the parents. How did his mother and father, if the father was even around, how did his mother raise him to respond to authority? I keep thinking while you've been talking, I've been thinking about my dad. My dad is 89 years old. He'll be 90 in a couple of months. My dad grew up in Jim Crow South, where they were hanging black folks on trees in Louisiana. He and his mother got out of Louisiana and came to Chicago when he was 9 because the Jim Crow laws were just too harsh and too ridiculous for them. But he lived for 9 years in an environment where my dad didn't even have food all the time. So the conditions under which our fathers and mothers and grandparents lived were a whole lot worse than what we're talking about today. When you're talking about being hung on a tree and not even going to court for the hanging, you know, there was no law or justice at all. And what
dad
always says is that young people don't listen to wisdom anymore. That's his philosophy and his perspective these days. As he's become 89, 90 years old, grown up in the poverty of the South, Jim Crow, he experienced the racism of being the only black football player in the NFL for a year. His harsh treatment, evil treatment, or negative treatment was a whole lot worse, in my opinion, than what these kids, at least these kids have a decent meal. My dad rarely had a decent meal growing up. So the issue becomes having a parent. My dad's mother taught him to have compassion toward whites or anyone else that treated him cruelly. His mother, he told me, was always telling him, "They have a problem, honey. Don't worry. Just be quiet. They have a problem." She would always tell him that. Today, are parents teaching their children to have compassion and understanding and wisdom when confronted with racism or hatred? No, probably not. They're probably saying, "Well, you have a right to speak up and you have a right to talk back," and so. Compare the two lives. I'm just saying, compare the wisdom of my dad, who has lived to 90 years old, and this young man who is dead at 18, and I think a lot of it goes back to the parental training and wisdom and compassion and understanding. Because I don't care if you're black or white. As I shared with you, I'm considered an African-American woman. And most of the hatred I received growing up was from black people. My youth was about being hurt and wounded from colored people in my neighborhood who looked at my light skin and said, "Well, what's wrong with you?" or just throwing names and labels at me. So most of my friends were not African American. They were either Oriental or of a different race. So I've grown up with a whole different perspective that it's not the color of the skin, it's the soul within that is really reacting to the hatred and the anger and the bitterness and the racism. So I hear what you're saying, but I'm still saying that we reap what we sow, and if the parents haven't trained someone, by the time they're 18 and they're acting rebellious and angry, that was a parental slippage, maybe, or a lack of parenting and a lack of responding to wisdom. And if he had that teaching, you know, maybe this really comes down to not being taught by wise parents or wise the village. That's the problem in the African-American community right now is where is the village raising the children? They're killing the blacks are killing blacks. And where's the wisdom and the grandparents? They're afraid. They're in their house locked up because these young people are shooting everybody. So it is a really complex issue.
Yeah.
And so we who are in the Word, I think the final analysis of this, and then we're going to go to some soul music for before we go on with the next half hour, because the final analysis, it is complex. And my experience is it starts with the parents. If the parents have not trained them up in the way they should go, and that's a scripture that says train up a child in the way they should go, and that's missing in the black community. That is so missing. Number one, women are raising the kids. The fathers have disappeared. And so what do you have? Children raising themselves, watching TV, all this violence in the movies and on TV. What do they say? "Oh, well, I'm going to be violent too." It's a complex situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear what you're saying, but we who are wiser and more knowledgeable, we have to kind of have grab onto these teenagers and help these single moms who are not maybe doing their job as much as they could even. Maybe they just can't do their job because they're just in survival mode.
Right, or just don't know themselves, you know.
Yes, it's this cycle of ignorance and lack in wisdom. So let's take a song break, a soul food music. We're going to feed your soul with some music by India Ari. And then we'll come back and we're going to talk a little bit about the ALS Ice Challenge. Yay, freezing cold. And so we'll be right back. We're going to just listen to Thy Will Be Done. And that's really what it's all about, submitting. No matter what the incident or the activity, to the will of the Most High, who is king of this universe, inside and out. So listen up, and we'll be back shortly. What the song is saying, burn my pride. Oh my goodness, speaking to us, India, speaking to us. We need to hear the words of this song. Let my light be bright, and let the will of the Most High be done. And we don't like his will sometimes, because the will of the Most High is about discipline, and that's something that's missing everywhere. I don't care. In the church is having chicken fried dinners and ham dinners and killing all these animals, and we think that doesn't affect the streets that we live in. I personally believe with all the animals we're eating and killing and all the violence on TV and movies, it's in the streets. You can't even control some of the violence in the street because the energy is so thick with the violence from movies, TVs, and people's minds that are sitting watching video games, killing each other with the video game, hours on video games, killing each other. And we wonder why Michael Brown is dead. Really? Wake up, people. Wake up. We are not conscious. That's why the people are protesting in the streets and angry and looting, because we're not conscious. We're not conscious of what's going on around us in our society and our environment. Violence is everywhere, everywhere, commercials, TV, and we're wondering why this poor young man is dead. So we don't want to talk about that too much anymore, because I think the message that Rafa and I both will agree on is that we who are left are taking it to heart, and we are going to let our light shine and let the pride be burned in us. No more pride. We can't even be prideful talking about this, because it can be very sad to think about this society and even this earth. The earth needs healing, and that's why I'm on the air with Soul Purpose Healing. I thought many times of discontinuing this show, but the spirit kept nudging me and saying, no, we need your voice. We need your voice. And I got the most beautiful message on Facebook today that so encouraged me that I said, I have to just keep pushing and keep sending out these lights, this light of love. And I'm so grateful that my brother Rafa is here to join me, because he, from an African-American male perspective, is bringing balance here and light and wisdom, and it's all one. We are one in the Most High. We were talking earlier about what we have in common is the word of the Most High. Whatever we may disagree on, we can always go back to the word and say, but look at what the word says, and then we can talk about it and gain understanding. I have a brother in Indiana who talks about the black letters in the word, and then there's the white letters in the spirit. And we all have been trained in the black letters to interpret the scriptures on a soul level or a simple level. But it's time for us to take this word and bring the white letters in and understand the spirit within us and the tribes within us and all the sacrifices within us and the offerings that are within us. As the word says, be still and know that I am Yahuwah. And that means me. I'm Yahuwah. Rafa is Yahuwah. We are all a part of the Most High, bringing our love and light to you who are listening and to all the world who choose to listen. So, again, I'm so grateful, Rafa, that you've joined me.
Thank you, sister. And there's a passage I wanted to give you in maybe closing that topic out, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. And 17 would be the focal point of our discussion was, do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? And that is an evidence that someone, you can, you know, foolishly get yourself killed. You know, this life is like we're on a track, a car, a racetrack, and it's a crash course. You know, you can crash if you're not vigilant and diligently looking at the road and observing the obstacles that you'll be coming across. And you can crash if you're not careful, and it can result in a fatal crash. It's not only that you can die a peaceful death, but a very horrible one, like Michael Brown did at an early age, you know. So it does, I'll just underscore what you're saying, is the response that we need today, in any day, any time, before, as in now, all and future, is to be in control when our Savior, this Mashiach, had his trial, you know, here in this physical realm. It says that he was like a lamb at the slaughter, you know. He was silent. He could have spoke up in his defense and showed how he was right, like, y'all are wrong for doing what you're doing. But it wouldn't have mattered. They knew what they was doing was wrong, but it wasn't about justice. It was about fulfilling their evil heart desire, and they was going to do it by any means necessary, lawful or unlawful. So when you know that you're dealing with a brute, you can't, if you're not a bigger brute, which we're not, you know, we don't have the weapons and the military force or even the power of the law to back us when we are confronted with these powers. Your best bet is to be respectful, to be calm and courteous, even in the face of disrespect. And that's not natural. We want to lash out and, you know, you got at me, I want to get back at you with that. How does the scripture say, don't requite evil for evil? Don't repay evil for evil.
Yeah.
So that's the heart of, you know, what you and I are trying to get out, that
And I'm glad you brought up the word Mashiach, because for those listening who don't know Mashiach, it means anointed. We call the man that many people call Jesus Christ, we call him Yahushua HaMashiach. And his name is not HaMashiach, but it gives you the Hebrew lettering for this man who walked the earth, Yahushua, which has a powerful meaning in that itself, the salvation of Yahuwah. And then to say HaMashiach, the anointed one. He was the anointed one, meaning he knew why he was here. He knew his sole purpose on the earth. He didn't have to argue with people. He didn't have to protect himself or defend himself before the courts. He knew exactly what he was here to do. That's what we have to be about. Our business should be about, why am I here? What is your sole purpose on this earth? When you know that, you don't have to confront people. You don't have to argue with people. You can walk in the Psalms 119, 165 that says, great shalom, great peace have those who love the law, and nothing offends them. But when you don't know why you're here, what's your sole purpose, you're going to confront policemen with rifles. You're going to talk back to your teachers. You're going to talk back to your mothers, your grandparents. You're going to be doing all kinds of foolish things and end up in the grave. And then the Most High says, learn the lesson. That death happened because you people down here need a lesson. We all needed the lesson. So I'm taking that lesson to heart, moving forward with soul purpose healing, because there are too many people on this earth don't know why they're here, what they're supposed to be doing, and I'm here to help you. Rafa is here to help you understand and see what is your purpose on earth. So we have our next news item that we want to cover. Boy, time is going by fast. We have this item that has come up, has gone viral on social media, and people don't even know what they're supporting. Rafa, ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, what does that mean for you in your journey?
As I told you earlier, today, well, actually, you were the first one that made me aware of it today. I had not heard about it. And right after we were talking, I looked on a YouTube page that is like a channel feed, and that was like the second or third item that they had advertising for you, some, you know, that I could watch. So I didn't watch it yet. I'm going to watch it probably tomorrow just to see what it is. I didn't know anything about it until you enlightened me about it earlier. So I imagine there are a lot of people out there that don't know. You might want to give them a quick overview of it like you did for me.
Well, it first came to my attention when one of my Facebook friends posted a video, and she's a very dear friend. I've known her practically all my life, so I was curious to know what she was doing, and she said, when I commented and said, what is ALS, she said, it's Lou Gehrig's disease, and I had a friend who died from it. That was her comment. I said, oh, how sad. So I thought, okay, they're bringing attention to Lou Gehrig's disease. And ALS is actually an acronym for amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. And when I investigated, because I'm not about to have anybody dumping ice on my head without knowing what's going on here. I'm not just going to fall for this. I don't care who died. I want to know what's going on here. So you can Google everything and find out what you want. So there's no excuse to educate before you participate. So ALS, this is commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, but this term actually covers a lot of different diseases. So they're just using this. This association is on a mission to raise money to bring attention to fighting Lou Gehrig's disease on every front. And they are doing an absolutely marvelous job of marketing to get attention for ALS. But when you look deeper, and it's been very entertaining, I must say, watching people dump ice on them and hearing the screams as a result and the expression and the emotions behind all this. But I'm not one to follow something that's uncomfortable without knowing what is going on. And is this really going to help ALS? Well, it certainly is bringing attention to the disease, but we've got plenty of diseases out there. But this organization is on a mission to what? Raise money. Where's money? So where's the money going? Does anybody know where the money's going? Can I help you people understand where the money's going? Just like the cancer institutions and the cancer societies, a huge percentage is going to pay CEOs, financial officers, policy officers, services officers. We're talking total administration costs of about $2 million. Now, this group has raised millions of dollars. So let me just give you an idea of what their expenses are. They have about 7% goes to the administration, 14% fundraising, 32% public and professional education, 19% patient and community services, and then 27% research. Now, that's where it gets interesting, because the research that you are supporting, if you're donating money to this organization, what I have discovered from several sites is that the research is supporting stem cells from aborted fetuses. And so you got to have money to pay these doctors to get the aborted fetuses, because stem cells are big business. Let me say that again. Stem cells are big business. We're talking business, people, finances, money. Stem cells, where do you get stem cells from? Primarily from aborted fetuses, okay? So that money is going toward a study of human spinal cord-derived neural stem cell transplantation for the treatment of ALS, and there's various diseases. So the question I have is are there any non-drug alternatives for this? Of course there are, but you're not going to read anything about it from a non-profit charitable organization supporting the pharmaceutical industry. Because this is all about drugs, people. Research is usually about developing more drugs for the diseases. So that's why I'm a little surprised and maybe disappointed that so many people are participating in this without becoming more aware of where the money's going. Follow the dollars. They're going toward stem cell research and then other drugs, pharmaceutical. Most of the companies that are supporting the ALS Foundation or are lobbying, they spend money on lobbying, are supported by, guess what, pharmaceutical companies, the whole industry. So strong, very strong ties to the pharmaceutical industry. That's the first thing you want to know. And I realize there are a lot of people out there who really trust their doctors in the white coats and they trust their medicine, so that's just fine. But this is a holistic show, and we're all about soul purpose healing. The word pharmaceutical is another word we hear and see in Revelations, which is pronounced pharmakeia, which defines as witchcraft. So this show is very radical when it comes to pharmaceutical agenda and witchcraft. We're based on scriptures here, and the Most High, Creator of heaven and earth, says, come out of her, my people, and don't be involved in any witchcraft whatsoever. So we're about promoting alternatives to all these drugs like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, diabetes, cancers, ALS, and Parkinson's. There are plenty of alternatives. You're just not going to hear about them on ice bucket challenges. And one simple, very simple alternative for ALS is coconut oil. Coconut oil, it is believed, I'm reading from an article from online, and you can Google this, the story of Clarence, someone named Clarence, and his experience in using coconut oil, which reversed his ALS. It can be used in a ketogenic diet, different from the philosophy. And the thing, the emotional connection to ALS, I believe you always have to look at the emotional root of all diseases. There is always an emotional root. And in one of my favorite books, Louise Hay, Heal Your Body, she says the emotional root or probable cause to ALS is an unwillingness to accept your self-worth. Unwillingness to accept your self-worth. Or denial of success. Think about that. Most diseases have a lot to do with self-worth and forgiveness.
Yeah.
We have a tendency in this society to be unforgiving and to lower our self-esteem when we have tragedies or diseases talk to us in our human vessel. But the Most High, Creator of this vessel, is using your disease to speak to you and help you wake up and hear the voice whispering to you to change your ways, change your lifestyle. Stop eating all the crap they put in boxes and then before you in the grocery store. Change your ways. Instead, we've got ALS. Let's do an ice bucket challenge. Raise more money. We can raise more money. We can beat this thing. We can beat this thing. Just pour more ice. Pour more ice and write a check. Are we hearing the message here? Deception is big in this country, in this earth. But we're here, Rafa and I, here to wake you up. Wake you up. And I'm sure Rafa can tell you about what eating dead food does to you. He had 3 years of having very little choice about eating dead foods. It will create disease in you. But think about the people who are not behind bars, and they're still enslaved to the food industry's definition of food, which is a bunch of chemicals. And then we have ALS develop and all these other things, and your emotion, you get depressed because your microbes are dead. You have your microbes are dying because you're not giving them what they need, which is fermented foods like sauerkraut and pickles and yogurt, getting back to our microbes, they want to be nourished and supported. When you're eating foods like yogurt and sauerkraut, pickles, and kefir, all those fermented foods, you support those trillions of microbes that are part of the universe within you.
So, yes, the body doesn't read the foods that are being manufactured today.
Yeah.
Grown, manufactured. The
manufactured,
body,
that's great.
Yeah, some are grown, but they all is the manufacturing done to this food thing, and they know the people doing this, that the body does not read this as real food, so it becomes automatically it takes what it can. It will derive what it can from it, but the rest is majority is a waste product that we're eating. If you eat, you know, a real, like a live fruit, it goes through a process, and the end process is the elimination of the waste. But if you're eating processed food, you know, it's kind of like defeats the purpose. You're doing it backwards. You're eating something, you're eating waste, in so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That's a harsh way to look at it, but it is the truth. That's, and they know it. They're feeding. I feel very bad for the young people growing up in this time that are being nurtured on from the cradle up on the GMO foods and the heavily steroided and what's that thing they call HGH, the growth hormones that they put in the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing, you know, in the children, the girls, the 10, 12, looking like 20, 18, 20, and getting a menstrual cycle at 8 years old, and it's just not normal. The boys are 6 feet tall, and they've got beards. Some of them are losing their hair at 15. You can see, as I'm a barber, I see their hairlines going back or getting bald spots in the middle. I'm like, man, you're in high school. How are you going bald? You're a teenager. So the acceleration of their life is so fast. Now, we don't know yet what it's going to be. It's so current and new. Another 20, 30 years, you can imagine what kind of poor health these young 15, 20-year-old, when they hit 35, 45-year-old, what are they going to, their bodies will probably be like 70, 80-year-old people.
If they live that long.
What's that?
If they live that long.
If they live that long. Right, that's right. If they live that long. But if they do, their bodies will be so feeble. You know,
yeah, there have been reports out that said this is the first generation where they will not outlive their parents. And I heard a comment on with this Michael Brown situation. I heard a comment on TV from someone. They were interviewing someone on CNN, and they were saying, a child is not supposed to die before their parents. And that just struck me as so immature and so naive to say that. A child is not supposed to die before their parents. The reality is they are going to die before their parents because they're being fed a bunch of junk, and they're not wise as their parents. So we're going to be seeing a lot of parents burying their children. My dad had to bury my sister, and his words were, "I never expected to bury my child," but now his wisdom is, expect the unexpected. And that's where all of us have to be. We have to be wise enough to see that, yes, we might have to bury our children because this society is doing a very poor job. The food industry, the medical system is doing a very poor job of aligning with the Creator's word. The word in the beginning, Bereshit Genesis, says that our food should be from plants with seeds in them. And we have gotten so far from that that it's strange sometimes for people to think, well, watermelon should have seeds in it. Yeah, it should. But you don't see watermelon with seed in it anymore, and I don't touch watermelon without seed anymore. But that's where we are. We are so misaligned from the Creator's manual for this vessel we live in. The Creator gave us the manuscript, the manual for this vessel. It's written in black letters called the Bible, and now we have to translate it and bring it to a level of white letters in the spirit realm, in the universe within us, and the cosmos translating what's up there in the moon, stars, and the heavens, and bringing that down into this body and absorbing the energy from the fruit, vegetables, seeds, nuts, and forgetting about the GMO stuff. That's what we want to help people shift and become more mindful and conscious of. Otherwise, the unconscious state will bring you to an early death. And that's what I believe happened to Mr. Brown and so many other young men, black or white. I don't care what color they are. They're unconscious when they have that kind of death before them. And we who are conscious, I think we're responsible to, with every opportunity we have, to shed light and wisdom about making decisions, about new goals, to live a life that's more abundant, prosperous, healthy, and conflict-free, or at least teaching them how to resolve conflicts. Because I have conflicts every day, but I'm like, let's resolve this quick. Don't need the stress anymore. No, don't need the stress. Because it's going to come. So, Rafa, you have any final words for our audience? It's just been such a joy to have this conversation with you, and I'm going to let you give some final words to our audience. We've been on almost 90 minutes, if you can believe it.
Yeah. The saying is true, time goes, flies when you're having fun.
It has been fun.
I think next week I would like to have another opportunity to share some things with you. We could get into a very interesting, intriguing topic about the spirit inside of us. What is it and how does it operate and what is it? What is the essence of it? Is it is it this physical, like the body that we have that we can touch? We just want to deal with a few issues of the spiritual life and what that is and what that means. And, what I like to call the recycling of the spirit.
I love that. I think it's very appropriate and timely that we move to the next level. Right next week, Rafa and I are going to come back and talk about the recycling of the spirit. That sounds wonderful. That's got to be the next level of conversation. When we talk about all these earthly things going on, news items, and we're going to get next week into recycling of the spirit, conversation about Eastern thought versus Western thought, about etymology, words, and where does that fit in America and our thinking and our role as children of light, as earthlings wandering around discovering our soul purpose on this earth, and we want to be all about healing. So thank you so much for joining us. We're going to go out with a little India Ari, I Am Light, as a reminder. Let these words be your food for the week. Feed your soul with enlightening music, uplifting music, and uplifting words from the scriptures and from your books that you buy. So have a blessed week. Thank you again, Rafa, for joining me, and I'll be back with you next week. And for
Thank
all you.
You
listeners, shalom.
Shalom.
Pieces of a dream I left behind.